When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today, we're talking about edibles. Could they possibly be worse than just straight up smoking cannabis? But first, before that, we're going to talk about UTIs as well as the difference between green and blue water. Mysterious. What does it mean?
It's so interesting.
The sun is shining again. We went from a really nice week to a freezing week, but the sun's back out.
Yeah, Toronto is like in its thawing era. And it's amazing. I'm so happy now that I can bike around the city. It is the most beautiful thing a human could do.
It really is funny how a touch of sunlight just is like so pleasant. Being
also,
able to just walk or bike anywhere.
But biking is like slay mama.
Did you see there's like a group in Toronto that's advocating against getting rid of a bunch of bike lanes in Toronto?
Advocating against,
like, removing bike lanes. Isn't that insane?
Yeah.
I saw a Blog
Well,
TO post.
I will say it's like, I mean, that's obviously clickable for Blog TO. We talked last week about how negative news is clickable.
True.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Like, I don't know how big the group is. What were you going to say?
My point is that when you're biking in Toronto, which is the best feeling in the world, you are just absolutely constantly passing cars. And I'm just like, today I just looked over at everyone commuting on Dundas. They looked miserable. And I just zoom, 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 smile, smile, smile. Like,
yeah.
It probably feels bad when you're sitting in your car and you're watching these bikes constantly pass you. Like, I feel bad sometimes because I'm like, yeah, I'm getting to where I'm going so much faster than you. I'm outside. I'm feeling the city. The wind's in my hair. I feel like I'm flying. I'm absolutely ecstatic. Life is beautiful. And you're in your car watching me zoom past. Like, it's not a good feeling.
It's like, this isn't even a comment on people who drive because they're commuting or need to work. And like, it's obviously complex, but it's weird to me when people have like a vendetta against bikes. It's like, that is also a form of commuting for a lot of people in the city. Like, a lot of people go to work on their bike. It's extremely affordable. It's like, you're getting outside. It can be really challenging, but some people do it all winter. And that there's like, it sucks that it has to be pitted against each other. It's like, I get it. Like, having too many things on the road is not great. But if you put everyone in bikes, we'd all fit and there'd be less traffic.
Yeah, for sure.
Not saying that everyone needs to be in bikes.
And it feels a lot better. It feels so good on your ass. Think about the ass. Think about the shelf of an ass you can build.
True. Is that really what it works on? Shelf? That must be when you're like going uphill.
Sometimes I'll be like, I'm bored. I'm going to really focus on my butt cheeks as I push. And then I'm kind of like, I think I'm building a shelf.
I always thought it was more quad, you know?
Yeah, I think it depends on
Wow, broing out here.
Yeah.
This is a bro podcast.
I don't really know what a quad is, but
the
I'm
front
say
of your
that.
Like, you know, the thick part at the front, there's the four little muscles, the quads.
To be honest, it's so easy and fun to bike that I'm like, this isn't even a workout. Like, I don't feel that much.
Yeah, it's honestly only like when you're going really uphill.
Yeah,
feel
and
it.
That's when I'm like, my ass looks so good to everyone in their car. Peep the ass. Peep the ass as I'm passing by. Daddy.
Honk, honk. Okay, moving on.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Oh, you go first. Mine is like complicated and we'll get there. But amazing.
Okay. Interesting. I am excited. Yours is the mysterious one.
Yeah.
All right. Mine's for anyone out there that's ever suffered a urinary tract infection or a UTI.
Okay. I haven't, just so you know.
I have, actually. like a lot of like people who have penises don't get UTIs because it's like your urinary tract is so much further. So like it's just like less likely.
Less
it's
likely with a
more
dong.
Likely with a vagina because it has like more access bacteria, can get it more quickly.
More likely with coochie, less likely with a dong.
Yes, so far as I know. I do believe that to be true. It is true. So there is a long time myth that cranberry juice can help prevent UTIs. Yeah. A lot of people drink cranberry juice all the time, or like if they think they're going, something's going on, they'll drink cranberry juice or take supplements. So a study just looked into this. They looked at 50 recent trials with over 9,000 people. So it's kind of like a huge meta-analysis. And they found it actually works.
Whoa.
Cranberry juice reduces your risk by 25%. If
Who paid for the study? Snapple?
Does Snapple have cranberry juice? I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
But girl. Is that real cranberry juice? That's just like, that's got to be cranberry drink, right?
Okay, well, don't come for my joke. Continue.
So 25% in repeat cases. So if you're somebody who like gets UTIs frequently, and it was 50% in kids, like by using cranberry juice. So they said like most UTIs are successfully treated with antibiotics, obviously, but especially for people, some people might have it once in their life, but then some people have it like recurring and it's really likely.
It doesn't hurt to drink the cran.
Yeah. Or supplements. Like you can buy pills. That is just basically the proposed mechanism is there's something called proanthocyanidins, PACs, and they prevent bacteria from sticking to the walls of the bladder, which might help infections. That's like what they believe.
That's in the cranberries?
Yeah. And that's what they believe is happening. Whoa. And so either way, even though doctors and stuff sometimes have like not anecdotally but like what did you say, like prescribed it just because it's like been said, now they have sort of this more concrete evidence to say
it works. It's like cranberry juice does have medicine vibes because it tastes bitter and
especially
bad.
Yeah, when it's not like sweetened, when you have like
it's rough
cranberry
it's like
juice,
your eyes like twitch and it's like this
sour,
this feels medicinal.
Yeah,
like it's not like it is Snapple. It's going down tough. Mm-hmm. That's like me and gout and tart cherry juice.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, I love a cranberry raspberry, but I'm like, that's definitely not real.
No, that's not real. Like, actually, you were right. Snapple isn't real. It's like, it has to be one of those juices that
like
truly are gross.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, even cranberries like on their own, I'm like, ow.
And you're like, how do you even get juice out of that? Are they so hard? You
and
must
need
so many.
It's like, this feels like it looks like and tastes like what a poison berry would taste like. But that actually, that's giving nutritional vibes.
Yeah.
It's not like they're saying dummy. What
like
is a fruit?
Gummy bears.
Yeah. I'm like, is there a fruit that isn't healthy? Like, no. There's always fiber.
Well, actually, that could be an episode. There's a lot of discourse right now around fruit.
Whoa.
And how a lot of people like
writing it down.
You'll see a lot of like health influencers where you like stay away from fruit.
Oh my,
because
what?
It spikes your glucose and it's like, it is just sugar. I'm just like saying the talking points that people say is that they get overly obsessed with like,
there's fiber though. That's what like when I read nutrition articles,
I think some people are trying. Well, I think we should do an episode on this because it's interesting. I know we had just an episode on sugar, but, like we had an Aesop Science episode just come out about that. And I don't know. It is an interesting conversation around fruit because obviously it's healthy, but maybe to the extreme it's not. And so I think like it's gained maybe a certain reputation for being like this ultimate food, but ultimately it is still containing lots of sugar. So if you're eating tons and tons and tons, maybe you'd be, you know what I mean? Maybe that wouldn't be great for you.
Yeah. But I was talking about fiber, which is like when you read nutrition articles now, fiber is like the,
yeah, you can get fiber from vegetables.
Vibey thing. I know, but fruit, like,
I think vegetables. Yeah, but the argument. Anyway,
oh, you mean like this is people not eating fruit, but eating
these
vegetables.
Are like health obsessed people who are probably taking it off whatever too far. I mean, like, fruit.
Where are you seeing it?
You see it on TikTok, you see it on YouTube, you see it all in health communities.
Whoa.
Reddit. I see people talk about it all the time, and it is contentious, obviously, but there's like health nuts who are like, you need to minimize your fruit. It's like a myth that it's healthy for you.
Wow.
It's intense.
Aren't there also people who like only eat like organ meat and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, take with a grain of salt what anyone selling a food regimen online says.
But. Yeah, and especially if they're saying don't eat fruit. That's kind of funny. Okay.
Well, people are obsessed with glucose monitors now. People like have them on and then they'll be like, look what happens when I eat a fruit. My insulin goes through the roof and these insulin spikes are really unhealthy, quote unquote, is like what the thought is. So they're trying to use it off data and they'll be like, but if I eat my fruit with peanut butter at the same time, it's slower release. My insulin doesn't go as high because the fat of the peanut like helps to like taper that.
Whoa, and you really are on fruit, no fruit TikTok.
Yeah.
I've never seen this. Just okay, we'll do an episode about fruit, and it'll also just be about gay people. Fruits.
Fruity.
Okay, tell me about your mysterious blue verdigris.
Okay,
green.
I'm going to try and explain this because it's complicated, but it's so interesting, and it's like very important. Okay. So, blue versus green water. This is from a global water conservation perspective.
Okay.
So, blue water is the water that we always think about, which is like water that runs off the land. It's in our rivers, our lakes, like underground aquifers, reservoirs. So anytime you're like, does my city have water? It's like, okay, well, is there a lake nearby? Is there visible blue water that you can see?
Okay.
That's how we use, it's the water that you would use to drink, for sanitation, for farming, etc. Green water is the water that's held in the air or in the biomass and in soil. And so what they're saying is that like most countries rely on green water, not blue water, but green water is like only seen in satellites, like literally precipitation and like coming off of like vegetation.
What?
So, okay, I'm gonna keep going. Wait, does it not make sense?
No, I think that makes sense, but is it like in those, because obviously we live in a part of the world where there's tons of blue water, right?
Yes.
So
Canada.
Is that why so many places rely on green water? Because they don't have like bodies of freshwater lakes.
Yeah.
Nearby.
Okay. Well, it all depends on how the systems of the water cycle work. So, for example, like Brazil gets most of its water from evaporation from the Atlantic Ocean over the Amazon rainforest, and it falls as precipitation. They have tons of blue water.
So that precipitation is considered green water.
Yeah, but they, as a country, have a lot of blue water because it's constantly raining. Their reservoirs are full. They have the Amazon, all this stuff. Peru, Colombia, Argentina rely on the green water from the Amazon, so the evaporation from the vegetation and the soil of the Amazon to give them their rainfall. It's not coming directly from the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 25%. Brazil exports 25% of its water to those countries as green water, evaporated water from vegetation.
By export, do you mean just naturally?
Yeah, naturally. Okay. They're not in control. Not like humans That's the point. Okay. That's the point of why they're like, we need to start talking about this.
I see.
Because no one talks about the evaporation in green water from a perspective of like value or... that it even exists.
Like, presumably this is so linked with climate change that if we're not marking these changes of green water, we might be in for some like unpleasant surprises.
Yeah. So for example, like Peru, Colombia, and Argentina, if the Amazon is cut down in Brazil, they will have decreased rainfall and run out of water because they need the vegetative evaporation of the...
That's interesting. Yeah, that's something I've never thought of. Like, obviously, you picture the Amazon being destroyed and you're like, that's terrible. All these animals are losing their habitat. We're destroying the world.
But now water's not going to make it to Argentina in the air.
Quote-unquote effect of other places that are not necessarily directly infected, but are like... this secondary chain of events that happens. Wow.
So no country acquires more than half of its moisture from within its boundaries. So even the largest countries that rely, like we all rely on evaporation from
the oceans,
vegetation, like, and the oceans outside of the boundaries of our countries.
Yeah.
But for us, it's a, like, we should be ignored. Canada's actually like
so big.
It's just so blessed with water. It's like most countries, if you think about it, are like huge swaths of countries in Africa are like relying on evaporated water from the jungles of like Nigeria. Like Nigeria has all this green vegetation that evaporates over to Ghana. So they're getting rainfall from, again, if you cut down the vegetation, they don't get rainfall.
Yeah, these are kind of like the weather patterns that are sort of normal and established.
Yeah. And so for each 1 degree Celsius of warming, global precipitation increases by 1 to 3%, leading to increased flooding and drought. So essentially it's like as the water heats up, more places are going to get flooded. And more places are going to dry as less green water is moving the way it used to. Mm. And then like water is now needing to be recast as a common good for all. So we can't just like focus on blue water, which has an economic value. Like Nestle buys it.
Right. Like, it's like you can capitalize.
Yeah. There's no understanding or laws or guidelines around green water at all. So they're like, okay, wait a second. If we can use satellites and science to figure out how green water works, because there's no precedent of privatization of water, but they could maybe control it through governments better as we go into the climate crisis. For example, like the UK privatized so much of their water and now they have like horrible infrastructure of water. So the privatization of water is really dangerous. Mm-hmm. And this is like quote unquote water that no one's figured out how to privatize.
Well, I imagine even more than blue water, which is like stable in the way that it geographically stays in one spot. But obviously some blue water like runs between countries and stuff. But if green water is like actually influencing countries outside of your borders, that's even more important. Like your political decisions as one country could have a huge impact on another country that doesn't get a voting say. Like if Brazil is able to destroy chunks of the Amazon and all these surrounding countries somehow aren't having a say in that, well, now this is a mechanism maybe by which to have a voice and say like you are negatively impacting our country, our people, our economy, and all these things.
It all goes back to something that an ethos of this podcast, which is privatization versus like governmental and like public funding. And it all is saying that we need to, for example, places like Europe, because it has like a big, the EU has many countries coming together. They do a really good job of managing the water supply because they work within countries and they like commodify it in a specific way. The privatization of this is like what, through these studies, they realize has been like detrimental, obviously, to like the water supply.
Totally. I mean, think of it, it's like privatization allows foreign countries to come and exploit resources. Like we know there's so many like Canadian companies tapping into like Colombian resources and like exploiting that, whether that's for drilling or whatever. And so then that the benefit often isn't even coming to the country when it's being capitalized on. So even though we're talking about Brazil, like don't cut down the rainforest, like think of how many countries probably have their
like stake in
private companies.
Yeah, like Shell, like Dutch Shell cutting down the Amazon for years. Anyways, that was so cool.
You explained that really well, actually.
Oh, thank God. I've been thinking about it all day. Whew. Okay, green water is where it's at. Let's not let Nestle understand what green water is. Okay.
Yeah, seriously. They'll just be running around with bottles in their hands being like, we're trying to capture it.
I have a good segue.
Yeah.
In university, my bong that I ripped hits of weed out of absolutely had green water in it.
Why?
Because the water was green from all the marijuana from the bong rips that I used to absolutely take.
Wow, you're really good at segues.
Green water, get it?
Yeah, okay.
We'll be right back.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Today we're talking about marijuana. Mary Jane.
More specifically, edibles.
Edibles. Cannibals. Cannibals. Whoa, no. Cannabis edibles. Whoa, similar name. So we're going to talk about how the fact that when you eat marijuana, it's very different than when you smoke it. We're going to talk about whether it's actually, with new research, maybe worse for you, but also explain to you how marijuana works in your body. And yeah, just talk about this like really interesting science that's constantly evolving as the world becomes more into marijuana, aka I just like saying that because I'm so into weed. I'm just like, no, everyone loves it, right?
Most places that have legalized it, the stats obviously show like an adoption of that. And just on the science of it all, like I think it's interesting because we're going from a space where only really smoking was that available, but now like a lot of people are doing edibles and there's just starting to be that research to be like, wait, we assume it's better for you in some ways, but like, is it actually?
And
so that's the question of today, I think.
We are in Toronto, Canada, where we can buy our weed from Justin Trudeau's goddamn house if we want to. It's everywhere. Whereas like you might be in a country where it's still illegal, decriminalized, and like you definitely should like know that like before you access marijuana. But every other store in Toronto right now is just has a weed leaf on it and it's like cannabis for days.
Yeah, they're D-A-Z-E. All struggling so hard to find a name because there's so many taken.
Yeah. And it's like every time you're like, oh, that's a really interesting chic Japanese looking store, I wonder if they have trinkets for my home, and you're like, oh no, it's just pre-rolls and edibles. Like it's everywhere,
and somehow they're always big stores and you're like, do you need this much space to have like an Apple like display of just like literally a package of edibles, and you're like, this surely is a bad way waste of space. Like, normally a clothing store would take up this shop, and now there's like one precious joint displayed on. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. And also, like, they look beautiful, but they still smell like dank weed. Like, it is funny. You're always like, wow, you've done such an amazing job to design this, but it does smell like garbage.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of edibles, no stank.
Yeah. Well, there's a stank on the nose.
Well, okay. Make them.
And also yesterday was 420.
Yeah, which we're is recording this on 421.
Holiday. And I actually didn't partake in the substance, and someone here did. And oh, it's not please. The pothead.
Well, yeah, I actually didn't realize, you know, so for those who don't know, 420 is like weed day. I have no idea why.
I don't even want to know the history because it's probably problematic or something.
It's probably dumb. I don't know. It's related to whatever. Who knows?
But it but reeked of weed at 420.
Even since we've been
yesterday
in university.
In
yeah. It's like on 420, April 20th at 420 is kind of like, especially when we were in uni, it was like the time to light up. And then it was like, you know, what do you say? Like transgressive? Is that the right word? Like it was like, you know, fuck the people. We're like having a weed day because it wasn't legal yet. And like our campus would have like thousands of people standing outside smoking. And it was kind of like, whoa, I was kind of just like watching from the side. But it was like everyone's disobeying the law. Like, and obviously weed became legal in Canada because people hold those views.
Ripe age of 35 is when you were like 420, baby.
Yeah. No, but I actually didn't realize yesterday was 420 until like 8 p.m. last night and was like, oh my God.
So you did.
I have to celebrate.
You did. 8:10.
Yeah, something like
420
that.
420 slash 8:10.
Yeah, I'm a little slow on the uptake, so double the time.
I have a really bad story for everyone, because if there's one thing the scientific research says, it's that the developing brain is not going to be adapting well to THC hitting it. So essentially, a lot of research into the negative effects of marijuana are really concerned with young people.
Like adolescents?
Adolescents smoking
I still
marijuana.
Feel like an adolescent.
You're not. You're way past it. They say in like the studies that you might as well wait till you're 21. Like if you're young, just finish university. If you're going to wait to start, it's also going to make marijuana more enjoyable to you, and the really negative effects happen when you're young. I'm here
do as I say, not as I do over here.
Yeah, I'm here to tell you that is not what happened with me, and I actually left.
And we're seeing the result right now.
I left an exam, a physics exam, early because it went till 4:30 in order to make it to a place to smoke weed for 4:20. Like I literally was like
skipped your exam
in third year university where I'm like I'm not first year, third year university. I remember being like, are you kidding me? Is it even legal to have an exam from 3 till 4:30 on 4:20? That is absolutely fucked. And then I was like, fine, I'm gonna study hard. And I like at 4:15 was like, yeah, I did that. And I was like the first one to stand up because obviously it's an exam. You should be taking the time. Waltzed my ass out of there, ran to Johnson Green to smoke up and was like, I did it, babe. It's like, that is not cool.
And that's why you had to stay an extra semester at university.
No, I had to stay an extra semester because I did science and art, babe. Mm,
that's what you want to tell everyone. You flunked that class.
That's actually true. I'm kidding. Mad. I'm like, it's so annoying that institutions are built where you can't have science and art degrees. I tried to do both, and they were like, you physically can't do this in 4 years. Thank you very much. I actually probably did better than you on that physics exam.
You definitely didn't.
I definitely did.
You
didn't.
I know
you were
I did
always
better.
Crying because you would leave, and I'd be like, funny, 1 percentage point above you, and I got high on Johnston Green.
Definitely physics, I did better than you. I remember that specifically because I did really well on that final exam because it was worth 50% of your
I mind. Would have done really well if I had waited the 15 minutes to finish,
yeah,
but
probably.
I had priorities.
We should pull up our old university transcripts. Is that what they're called? Where you have your grades? I'm actually curious. And like we should,
yeah, I would love to do that.
Just like see just who were we?
Your goddamn face.
No, you. I will say this: I'm not trying to be like cheeky and better than. Like you are smarter than me. You perform better in most subjects, despite trying way less hard.
But
that's the truth. But I actually just think physics.
You probably beat me at physics.
I remember being proud of it because I was like, I beat him. But I was like, I tried so hard.
I was absolutely ripped. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Let's go through the process of how marijuana affects your body.
Okay.
So fascinatingly, you have endocannabinoids naturally in your body, which are like chemicals that were only discovered that you had them naturally when people started smoking weed and realizing the effects
like
of the weed. And
is.
We're like, wait, they're mimicking this other thing in your body naturally.
Right. That would exist whether or not you're smoking or ingesting.
Yes. And they endocannabinoids, they affect neurons and receptors in your brain and nervous system. So they flow throughout your body. Again, if you've never touched weed, you still have endocannabinoids within you. And they control naturally your appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory. Uh-huh, interesting. Those are all things that will be affected by the THC cannabinoids that you ingest. It's important to know that, like, the cannabis plant, which has a lot of, it actually has a lot of different chemicals that can affect you, but we talk mostly about THC and CBD. When that THC binds to the receptors in your body, when you ingest it or you smoke it, it is having an intense effect on your body. Some people say 1,000-fold more effect on your neurons than your natural endocannabinoids.
Okay. Yeah.
So that is why it's a drug.
It feels great.
And that is why you will feel enhanced things and why you might not even know you have endocannabinoids in your day-to-day life, because when you have,
they're not that potent.
Yes. And so that's like an important part of,
I mean, like any drug really, you're like flooding your body with either like a chemical or something. Yes. That's,
yeah,
whether
that's
it's
true.
Whether it's like something that's already in your body or whether it's stimulating something in your body, it's usually stimulating something to a degree in your body that you would never naturally experience.
Yeah.
And it, without it, like the highest euphoric moment of your life, like having a child or something.
Yeah, you know, but if you the THC.
Or playing the new Zelda.
Or playing the new Zelda. Having a child or playing the new Zelda. Very similar. The THC itself is not the exact same shape of endocannabinoids that are in your body, but it mimics it. And that's kind of how a lot of drugs
work. That's the
work.
Cutest part about like biochemistry. Where you're like, oh, it's not the same. It's actually not the same. It's just like,
it fits into the receptor.
Yeah. Similar. Like, it's just like, oh, I can fit this little arm in here.
I know. It is actually crazy that all it comes down to is like molecules shapes fitting together. Turning latches and keys literally to move other molecules that go into your DNA to like cause different things to phosphorylate. It's like,
yeah, but that's how I know that crazy. I'm stupid and a biologist at heart, because I know deep down there's like chemists and physicists who are like, yeah, but it's all about like the electromagnetic bonds and like,
yeah,
it's actually not about the shapes, even though it is about the
but
shapes.
But it is about the shapes, but the electromagnetic bonds
are ultimately what hold it.
Yeah.
So yeah, but you know what I mean, where you're like, the shape, it's so much easier for me, a little biologist, to be like, oh, there's these cute triangle shapes, and then there's these cute
shapes. The high school version.
Yeah, but at the deep level, it's like so much more technical.
But it is a triangle fitting into a triangle shape. Just, it's very complicated, globular, and controlled by many different forces, but it's not that different. Organic chemistry, as someone who was like a visual and like an artist, I was like, this is the easiest, most fun course. And it is very interesting that everyone hates it, because it's the most
people
visual.
Are screaming right now. We didn't take organic chem.
Well, there was organic chemistry in our biochemistry. I took organic chemistry.
I didn't take an actual organic chemistry.
I took organic chemistry because I was like, this is fun. Yeah, I did. I took
just learning all the different like structures.
Because it's
and
visual.
Shapes.
You got to draw out. You got to, instead of like when you balance a chemical equation and you're using just letters and numbers,
symbols,
organic chemistry involves you drawing out the molecule with the bonds. And like at a certain point, I was like, it's just about figuring out like, okay, if a water is leaving, an oxygen is leaving, a carbon dioxide is leaving. So it's leaving from this one molecule on the left. It's now gone.
Okay,
now,
Mensa.
No, it's not Mensa. It's just the way.
A thousand different chemicals.
No, it's just the way my brain works. I'm like, this is easier.
It's just the way my beautiful
no,
brain works.
I feel like there's other aspects of science that are so like much more mathematical and Mensa and harder for me. Like I just love the idea of like drawing shit out. Anyway.
This was a side note. I'm sorry I started it. Your beautiful mind. And I'm just this dumb little peasant over
here.
Well,
no, relating it to organic chemistry, THC has a similar organic chemical shape to your endocannabinoids, therefore can bind to the receptors in your body and cause intensity of your endocannabinoid receptors that would never be able to happen naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called getting high. And so when you smoke it, you have to heat it real, real hot, and it goes into your lungs, and then it goes into your bloodstream, which goes to your heart and goes directly to your brain. So there's no metabolizing of the drug. It goes right to your brain, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, obviously, you're not snorting it, but
it's way faster, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah.
The access point of the lungs is like really one of the quickest ways to get something into you.
Yeah. Well, because the blood goes from the heart to your lungs, then from your lungs back to your heart, and then to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, if you're putting it in the lungs, it's going back to the heart brain. Mm-hmm. It's like, it is intensely fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it hits you really quickly and you get high within like 2 minutes. Eating it is so interesting because it's now going into your stomach, your GI system, your intestines, being absorbed into your blood, The important part about when you eat something is that from your bloodstream, it doesn't just go to your brain or your lungs. It goes to your liver to be metabolized. And this is where things change for when you eat marijuana, because the enzymes in your liver metabolize the marijuana to become a more potent chemical, a more high-inducing chemical. And you will be getting higher, and it will affect your brain in a different way from eating an edible versus smoking it, which I think is so interesting. And a lot of people don't know, because it's like, they just like, oh, eating versus smoking, it's maybe how long it takes, but it's like, you are actually getting higher. And I think a lot of people can relate to that.
At a proportional rate though. I mean, like you won't necessarily get higher.
Oh, if you ate less,
right? Like yeah, you're talking about like, it has a different impact, but like if you eat less, you could smoke more. Like it's not like a black and white thing,
but it's like, if you're doing the same amount,
okay,
it's making you higher. And it's, I was like listening to a science podcast, and they were like so funny and cute and had never eaten, smoked marijuana in their lives. And so they were like, you know how like other podcasts, not like our insane podcast, will be like taking a microphone into the edible shop, and it will start with like,
oh yeah,
the, like sounds the noise of the like, street.
Ding!
Yeah, like, and it's like,
hey, welcome.
Yeah, and they're like, I would like to get my edible. And you hear like a shop person, you're like, and you're like, yes, like immersive. And it's like, wow.
We used to kind of try that kind of stuff, like not as immersive, but it's like good for those people who are doing
that. Yeah, yeah. Like they brought a microphone to buy edible, and they were like, since I'd never done edibles ever, I found the smallest gummy possible of 2 milligrams, and I split it in half for like the first night. And I was just like, this chick's doing 1 milligram. Like it was just like, that was their big intro. And I'm like, oh my God, if we had to like bring our microphone into what we do, it'd be like, well, this is the 14,000th time I've done an edible, and I'm going to go for 10 milligrams to start. And then I'm going to dance to Rosalia like for 48 hours. Anyways. That
sometimes freaked
me out.
I'm worried about that. Yeah. I mean, like
that we do so much weed.
Yes. And like, I don't, like, yes, more recently.
It's
like,
freaking me out too. That's why I also want to talk about
But I,
about
okay,
that.
No, like, we don't need to talk about this too much. I'm not like a crazy pothead, and most of my life I wasn't, but I'm like in a stage now.
Okay? But like,
don't look at me like that.
No, because I'm like,
it's not like you've never seen one like that before.
I just think like, I'm like, I think you are now.
Okay.
Because I'm like,
I think
beyond.
By definition I am.
Yes, yes. Because I think like, well, a lot of these research, they talk about heavy cannabis use being more than twice a week.
Yeah, I mean, but there's definitely like weeks that go by that I am just like, I don't.
Yeah, when we're in Colombia and we can't access it.
Yeah, fine. But I mean, even at home, there are times, like, find myself like desperately attached to it. But when things are like chill and.
Yeah,
like,
you do go times where I'm just like red in the eyes looking at you like, damn, he hasn't been high in a while.
But it's more usually because I'm anxious about like other stuff that has to be done, and it will just like get in the way. So I don't feel like I'm like desperately addicted, but I am. Our life right now has been like fairly relaxed, and so it's like the evenings I'm just like, oh, I guess it wouldn't hurt, and I'm not worried about like being too foggy like today, because yesterday was 420. I'm like super burnt out.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm feeling fresh. Interesting. Yeah. Didn't have weed. Hair flick.
No, I guess I'm saying, I wanted to bring up, and maybe this is a different episode of ours, like just the overall negative impacts of weed, because I oftentimes have glorified it. As
It's
really, it's enjoyable. It's a way to relax. But I am more and more in my life like, I want to remember like, this is not a good thing.
Well, it affects your. So another thing is that your endocannabinoid system naturally has a role. When you flood it constantly with marijuana, you're impacting the ability for the normal role that it plays in your life to be impacted.
Yeah.
So it affects your mood, it affects your memory, and it affects your ability to focus.
Yeah.
So if you're relying on marijuana like me to do those things, then it will potentially be harder for you to modulate your mood, have an okay memory, and focus. Like that's not...
Can we do an episode just like called like the negative side of marijuana?
Yeah.
Because I feel like we like obviously talk about it very casually. We're from part of the world that is just like super accessible, super acceptable, not taboo. People smoke weed in the streets.
Like only focus on the negative. That is interesting.
Yeah. And obviously like knowing that it's us, we're coming from a place as people who do it. So I am just like, not to like spook anyone or scare anyone, but I, for my own sake, want to be like, okay, I've for a long time, especially with edibles, been like, okay, it's not hurting my lungs. It's like, I feel like it's a nice way to relax and have fun and these things. But now I'm like, maybe I should take a step back.
Let's talk about that. The lungs. Like, that is why edibles are, quote unquote, considered to healthier. Be better for your lungs. Because you are not impacting with fire and chemicals and the burning of the weed like at smoke. Like 800 degrees Celsius when you're like burning it. In fact, you actually have to burn the weed at a much lower temperature to make edibles. It's like 150 degrees. Like it has to stay low. You have to use all these different types of extraction to get it into like the jube or like the like yummy thing you eat. But the fact that it's more potent, some of the studies are saying we are now looking at the impacts of marijuana on the brain. Edibles could be potentially more impactful and negatively on your endocannabinoid system and brain because of the fact that there's these extra potent chemicals that your liver is activating through the consumption of eating the weed. That might be one way for you to think about not just eating an edible like, oh, it's so much better because it's actually affecting your brain differently and more potently.
Totally. I think you're right. I don't think about that. I often just think because I don't like smoking in the first place. Not to say like I do vape sometimes.
Oh, I don't because of my lungs. Really hurts. I love the like, oh, I'm having a joint with my friend at a bar. Oh, like, and like if someone sees me just like huffing the joint, they're like, that guy's sexy. Like,
you that's think like what so? I think. I do not.
Which is bad. That. Like, obviously, it's like me literally so being like, smoking's cool. I don't have
that image at all for whether it's regular cigarettes or marijuana.
No, not cigarettes, like, but for a joint, I'm like, oh, what a sexy, carefree person.
But to me, like, you know, there is obviously so many studies and decades of research on the effects of inhalation of smoke into your lungs, whether that's from like tobacco, but also including like actual weed buds and now liquid like vaporized smoke, which
vaping is
has
crazy.
Another element of different kinds of chemicals that are entering into your lung and causing different long-term effects for people, whether they're flavored and how that impacts. So like, that's why for me, and it's not like I'll still vape sometimes, but it is like that felt like a great way to be like, wow, I'm not even affecting my body in that way.
By eating it.
Yeah, it just was like an easy shift for me to be like, wow, I'm skipping this thing that we objectively know is actually really bad for you. But now there's this big blank of like, am I ignoring
your brain? Like literally, I don't know, the most important organ, some may say.
But I mean, obviously like smoking still impacts your brain. But
I know.
Like
I'm saying this is how I'm trying to contextualize through the research that like weed is not good. And maybe that will be our other video of like why weed's bad, which is LOL from like two of the biggest potheads in North America.
But I am definitely not that.
Throwing you under the bus.
Doing it.
Like,
I don't think someone doing it maybe twice a week is one of the biggest.
And the reason I didn't on 420 was because I had like 8 days in a row. Like I actually was like on the night before, some might call it 419. I was like, I'm not going to consume weed tomorrow because I have too much. This is me being an adult. And then I woke up and everyone, like numerous of my friends, were like, 420 baby. And I was like, are you kidding? It's like the one day I've decided. And I was like, I'm not. And then my pothead friend, we played tennis, and sometimes we play tennis stoned, and he was very good stoned.
Really?
And I was like, it was taking everything in me. I was like, why is he beating me stoned? Well, okay, that getting high can increase your focus, which can be part of the reason why people use it to, for me, like for example, as a bit of a crutch. Like it helps me focus. This isn't for everyone.
Yeah, and not for me.
And a lot of research on marijuana comes down to a statement that you cannot expect this complicated drug to have the same effect on people that it is on you. It's unlike something like MDMA or alcohol, which they've seen can affect the brain and nervous system in specific ways with specific outcomes. Marijuana is all over the map for a lot of people. You can have the same type of what?
So I was just gonna say though, like obviously like alcohol impacts people differently. Like maybe not biophysically, but I just mean like some people act very different when they're drunk,
yeah,
right?
but the actual impacts on the neurons and the depressing, like the depression of the nervous system is more specific. And from what I understand and from like the discussion parts of the papers I was reading, they were like, this is a lot more complicated. Mm. And they specifically said MDMA and alcohol.
Fair. Okay.
That doesn't mean you're right. Some people are like,
they're obviously having like a kind of grouped effect on your brain. Yeah. Like people who are smoking weed are having a sort of similar experience, yes. obviously.
But some people can be extremely paranoid. Some people can be more relaxed. Right. Some people can be tired. Yeah. Some people can be like,
More energy, less energy, hungry, like nauseated. Like it can go on.
You're all smoking maybe like the same joint.
Right.
Is like what they're wanting people to understand so that you don't just like force people to like consume marijuana because it's affecting you one way.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Yeah. I mean, I think that's an interesting part about it. I think like what seems to be the common thread is that it just like makes things kind of like funny or interesting or just like you kind of feel like the things you're watching or doing are like at a higher level of amazing.
It heightens your ability to think ideas are interesting based on its
the amount of times
impacts.
I've watched the Tears of the Kingdom trailer stone and I'm just like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing
I know. And that's why weed's so fun. Because you're like watching a YouTube video and you're like, is this the best YouTube video I've ever seen? And then you're like,
then the next day you watch it, you're like, I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah. That is obviously maybe not cool. But it's like,
yeah. So, I have some stats on like edibles versus smoking in terms of like safety that I could go into a little bit. So there is a study I found that looked at maybe 2,500 marijuana-linked visits to the ER between 2012 and 2016 in Denver. I think this is maybe around the time that like before and after it was legalized.
Okay.
I kind of don't know. I add that and I feel like I read that in the study, but now I don't have it in front of me. So only 9% of the ER visits were linked to edibles, which is low. But of those, proportionately more of them were causing short-term psychiatric conditions. 18% of edible users were suffering symptoms such as anxiety and psychosis compared to 11% of smokers. Hmm. There were more heart issues for people who had edibles. And... That was it. But the study obviously was like, this is correlative. Like we can't say that edibles are causing these things, but people who are coming into the ER who have had edibles are at a higher chance of these problems for whatever reason. Maybe they're different kind of people. We don't actually know yet. Maybe people who do edibles are also have another activity they do that we can't yet understand.
Or they're like, if you were older and new to marijuana, you'd probably start with edibles.
Totally. Like that. Like, maybe it is an older demographic, but... whereas smoking was linked to greater gastrointestinal issues.
Like, interesting, because that's so weird. It's not going in your GI tract.
But maybe it just like impacts it more. Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. I also, that is weird.
So, I mean, obviously, like you said, there just is a different impact. This is just one study and it's interesting. And it's not like the examples are so extremely different. It's not like edible users are suffering like 50 times more or something. But, it's worth knowing, like there is a difference.
And there is a lot of research about how marijuana can negatively impact people who have family histories of psychosis. Mm. So it's like, there are hospital, like people know it's very hard to overdose on marijuana to get to the point where like your system shuts down and you die. For example, with alcohol, that can happen. Opioids, that can happen. Whereas with marijuana, a lot of people will be like, you can't overdose. Like,
or the risk is so much lower.
Yeah,
right?
But even when they think about pain regulation, because endocannabinoid receptors and systems in your body modulate pain, there are some scientists who are trying to figure out how marijuana could be used instead of opioids, which are so dangerous. And you can overdose on and kill so many
totally.
People.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a good cause and many reasons where like marijuana, whether smoked or eaten, is like a viable and potentially more
like medicinal.
Useful medicinal drug. Practice. And that's like what started the legalization of it, was that scientists and doctors were able to say, okay, fine, don't worry about random people smoking it. We can show that this is helpful to people who are in like terminal condition.
Yeah.
And it can make their lives easier or more enjoyable than they would be without.
But my point was that like that doesn't mean that it can't cause psychosis in people who have a history of
that.
So that's like another part of marijuana that I think some people don't realize is like you might not overdose, but you can end up in the hospital. Yeah. You can end up going through a psychotic state based on this drug, which is another. But it's like now we're entering the negative weed episode. But like that is a really
important
thing to know, because
like any drug, I think, like we said, it can affect anyone differently. based on your genetics, based on your family history, based on your propensity to have an addictive personality or rely on something as a crutch for like emotional support or for relaxation, in the same way that if you have like liver problems in your family, alcohol is probably going to be more problematic. If you have like propensity for lung cancer, like smoking is going to be an issue. So like if you have, you may not even know what these conditions are, but weed might be a more negative thing for you, and you might have to evaluate that on your own when you interact with
it. Yeah, it might not cause overdose, but it could create a psychotic state, which is leaving you in the hospital.
And like there is a gradient of that. You don't have to be in the hospital for something to be not good for you.
Yeah.
On another level of edibles versus smoking, and edibles maybe being more problematic, is, you know, obviously there's so much more available now, and studies both in Canada and the US have found a big increase of accidental consumptions.
Oh my God, that's so bad.
By kids.
I just so like, it's like think pediatric. About being a parent, I would hate that.
Yeah.
It's your fault. Yeah. You're like, did you grab the iced tea with the confusing wrapper on top of it? No.
Yeah, obviously at the bottom line of this, you know, people have alcohol in their homes and have to learn how to keep that away from kids and keep it safe. People,
but alcohol tastes awful to
that's
kids.
True. Yeah, and these, it's not designed with colorful gummies packaging.
Are absolutely delicious. Yeah. They're the best gummies I've ever had. The Sours with a Z from Toronto, wherever.
Oh, isn't
they're
it an S?
So good.
Oh, Sours. You're right.
Yeah, it's. Okay. I'm not kidding. Like, I sometimes eat, like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do 8 milligrams. And I'm like, well, no, I'm going to do 10 because that's the most delicious candy I've ever had.
Yeah, so kids are finding these. In a U.S. study, 23% of the patients were hospitalized with a significant increase in both ICU and non-ICU admissions. They found acute toxicity in a lot of kids. The most frequent health outcome children experienced was central nervous system depression. So that means like drowsiness, lower blood pressure, and slurred speech. Yeah, so like for a kid, it's way more intense.
It's
even,
so
right?
much more intense. And as I was saying earlier, like a lot of the research on the developing brain of humans, that it's like before the age of 21, the THC is affecting the growth of your brain, the ability for your brain to evolve into what it would be without the impacts of the THC. Mm-hmm. So like if you're giving it to like, that's the people talking about teenagers, let alone like a toddler or something. Yeah. That's really intense. And you'd go to the hospital obviously, because it's like, you'd be scared.
Yeah. And I mean, think of it like, say you're even having 5 milligrams, like depending on your body weight, even as an adult, if somebody's like much smaller than I am, say weighs like 3/4 of my weight, they're going to have a totally different experience in a different dosage.
Skinny as a needle.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying they're smaller than me. So if a kid weighs half your weight, or if it weighs literally like 1/7 your weight, or, you know, like
you
there's
gotta
a
keep,
huge difference.
It's why it's impossible to open them. I still can't open edibles.
Yeah. But people have said like, you know, all it takes is scissors, like in a pot. Like those bags are actually challenging to open, but you could just take scissors and cut it open.
Yeah, that's true.
So like it is a matter of, okay, there maybe needs to be a cabinet out of reach from kids or locked from kids.
Yeah, like, the edible.
Because they're so simply, like you said.
And they look good. But there's nothing more awful than that feeling when you're an adult and you're like, I can't get in this kid's lock.
Yeah. No, because
I'm like, every time I'm like, I've opened edibles for years and I still am just like, if you throw me a new technique, it's
not. Those are some of the coolest designs, actually. I'm like, I don't know how these work. Because usually when you want to open something, it's like your brain needs to comprehend
like
what's
going on. Like
the fact
you have to pull it from just that one part and then it opens. Like Justin Trudeau, you're a smart man. Whoever figured that out.
But obviously not smart enough because all these kids are in the hospital. Thanks a lot.
No, that's probably in Denver. You know what I mean? They don't got the regulation. True. This Canadian government's on it.
I think like from my research, it's still definitely early days with edible research. When it comes to comparing edibles to smoking, I don't think there's like a lot of high quality research to compare the differences, right? We're either comparing cannabis as a whole.
Yeah.
And then the only thing that kind of comes up in this space right now is these like minor differences in hospitalization in adults and then the accessibility to kids being like the main conversations.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean there aren't more.
I was reading the one about also stating that it impacts your brain with more potency.
Yeah.
So
sorry,
the negative impacts of marijuana could be
like intensified
through edibles. Yeah. Which I'm like, that's interesting. Cause no one can claim that it's better. No one can not claim that it is in fact better for your throat and your lungs to eat marijuana. Like everyone knows that. If you're worried about your throat and lungs, which I am, mm-hmm. it is
and
going
if you
to
had
be better.
To choose one.
Yeah. But now they're like, but let's look at the brain.
Yeah. Yeah. And see like what outcomes are associated.
And it lasts longer too. It does last totally. Longer. It fires within your system for a lot longer than when you smoke it, which might also be an impact if you're kind of wanting to, you know, not have it impact you for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of aspects.
Yeah. I really, just before this, I was saying I want to do an episode on marijuana and sleep. You know, I'm obsessed with sleep. And because I know so many people are fascinated behind how alcohol is such a bad thing for your sleep. And I had made a video about that. So I know like there is more research coming about marijuana and its impact on sleep. And I'm really curious about that. So,
and if you're under 21, I wish someone said, just wait till you're 21 to smoke weed. I know that's really hard to say.
What? You would have never listened.
I know.
My kids are doing crazy things. Have you seen Euphoria?
Yeah, that's true. Ew, I hate that like random old man's fucking concept of kids. Like that show's creepy. But yeah, you're right. I might not have listened. You're right. I might not have. I guess many people like, but all
there's
the people
no
who told
way.
Me.
You were, it was illegal when you were doing it. Like you were not doing it out of like the authority telling you it was okay or not okay.
All the people who told me not to like smoke weed was like, they'd have like cops come in and tell me, and I was always like, ew, pigs. Like I like like I always was like, cops are creepy. That
I think it just all it goes back to for kids, like everything, and for adults, is education's important.
That's what I mean
gonna make their decisions. I think propose it like, here is the difference, just so you know, so you can make your smart decision.
I think if my science teachers, who I loved and respected, had like a conversation like this with scientific evidence about marijuana and like brain development, I would have had a better reaction than a cop who I don't know coming in and being like, this is what marijuana looks like. If you do it, you might get caught and go to jail.
Yeah.
And like just like yelling at you and being like, this is what heroin looks like, and being like, I'm pretty sure I'm not gonna like interact with heroin.
I mean, it's the exact same reason why like abstinence practice doesn't, or teachings don't work. It's like, it's more important to provide options. You're not gonna stop all kids from having sex.
Yeah.
And so providing like protection, providing medicine, all these kind of things, providing access to healthcare is like so important.
And marijuana, like,
and education.
When you first do it, it's so intense that it's like, I was like in grade 10 or something. It's like, that's young.
Yeah, I definitely waited like, till I must have like maybe tried it when I was in high school, but like, I don't think I really got high. I probably did one puff and was like, oh my God, I'm so high.
Yeah. And also,
it wasn't until like I met you over here.
We don't want to get into that. I was thinking about how crazy you used to be yesterday. Like, I was thinking about how you were like during 420 when you were smoking and I wasn't. I was like, he used to freaking make me feel like I was like
a drug lord.
Absolute, like the drug lord of Toronto, like because I like smoked marijuana sometimes. Also, I was like, you were so funny.
People change.
I know. That's why I couldn't even remember that old you. Like, it was crazy. Like, he would like look. We were getting so many. Oh my God, that was a different time. But I also think that who you're around impacts you a lot, because I was hanging out with stoners. I was like adjacent to stoner crew, so I always felt like I was barely consuming weed, because like, I was like, I them. Couldn't. Yeah, because every day after school, I'd hang out with them, and they would all smoke weed, and I'd be like, I can't, because if I go home high, I'm going to like have a panic attack. Like, or like, I just don't have it in me. Like, it affects me so much. I'm going to wait till a Friday night and we go see a movie, and then I'm going to like have the time to come home and my parents are asleep or whatever. But I do remember 420 like was the first time I consumed weed at 420 and like went home. It's actually like a good indication of how weed affects you. It makes you have heightened experiences. And then also like paranoid. Like, I remember going home and like for the first time ever in my life, entering my house stoned at 5 when like everyone's there and being like, I'm going to study. And then going into my basement and like opening my biology textbook, which I would have done that in my room. I don't know why I was in my basement. And my dad walked down and was just like, hey, Greg. And like went to the laundry room. And I just remember being like, holy fuck, that's like my dad. Like, I was just like, that is what my dad does. Like, it was just like my dad simply walking in front of me like blew my mind. I'm like, that's who made me.
This is like all I was doing last night with Ernie. My dad, like, this is my dog.
I know,
I live with this animal.
It was crazy. And then he came out of the laundry room and I was still staring at him, and he was like, what's up?
And was I was like, happy 420.
Or he said like, what's up? And then I was like, he knows. I was like, he knows. And then I just was like, nothing, studying. And then and then I just spiraled out of control. Like, he knows I'm high.
Oh my God.
Because I was staring at him, because being like, you're my dad.
So good. Yeah, I'm way too. I would literally last night, I'm like, Ernie knows I'm high. He knows I'm high. I'm the same. Oh, speaking of, hey, Ernie. No, it is like a wild, it really changes your perception, or gives you pause to really think deeply about like little things, which can be really interesting.
Or
like
bad.
Or bad, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that like my pothead friends, what's dangerous about doing it too much, especially when you're young, is they were already not getting impacted.
But
like
they needed it to function normally.
Yeah. And then when I would smoke weed with them, they'd be like, you're insane. Cause I'd be like so much higher and like listening to Coldplay and like crying. And they'd be like, yo, like chill, man. And I'd be like, well, my nervous system isn't as adapted. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's no good to get to a stage where you're like, don't. You it's like if you don't do it, you feel like crap, and if you do it, you just feel normal.
My last weed story, but like I think I've told it before, but once I was in that same moment, like they're all smoking so much weed so they're not high, and they're all potheads and they love BMX biking, and I just like, it was like a Saturday, I'm like, I'm gonna partake, I'm gonna stay. I don't even know if I can get it out. And so I like get high with them all, they're all BMX biking, and I'm like, okay, putting in my headphones, like literally listening to like Feist or something, like cry, like literally.
Were you
crying
at like a bike pit?
Yeah, it was like, it was behind Home Depot. There was like they'd made like jumps and stuff, and I was so high and doing my own thing. And I walked, and then all of a sudden, I just like kind of notice everyone screaming. And I turn, and I'm at like the bottom of the jump, and this guy who's like BMX biking was like, "What the fuck are you?" And he slammed into me, and I flew into a puddle, and I was covered in mud, and I had to go home. And my parents, this is the part of the story I think I've told, were having like a like afternoon, all the neighbors over for like cheese and wine, and I was covered in mud, ripped out of my mind, and I had to walk in, and they were like, what happened? I was like, I was hit by a BMX bike. Oh, I'm just gonna go get change. And like, it was the scariest change ever, because like, it was like
everyone staring,
like,
yeah.
Mary Jane, like all the like moms are like, Greg, what's up? I'm like, nothing's up.
I could not. I would die. Yeah. Die of fear.
And they were all like, you idiot. Like, you just walked in front of the jump.
With headphones. This is you. You haven't changed. Headphones on, ignoring everything around you.
It was also crazy because I was like, I'm not BMX biking with these dudes. I know myself. I want to listen to Hillary Duff. So
you're gonna
listen to Hillary
broken
Duff.
Broken brain, destroyed lungs, and destroyed eardrums. Yeah. Those are like clearly the threads through your life.
Yeah. And they'd be like, bro, what are you listening to? And I'd be like, Hillary Duff. And like I never even like lied about it. And like, but also Korn or whatever. Like, insane. Wow. I need to stop. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll be another episode.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Post.
Oh, I was like, you can say goodbye.
No,
for
I've said, I've said enough.
Life. Okay. See you guys later. We'll see you next week. Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.